Their Love and Devotion. The Family Life of Edwin and Maria. By Minnie Whiting Priestley. Whiting Geography. Mapleton, Utah. I was born in Mapleton, Utah, September 5, 1899, the daughter of Edwin Marion Whiting and Anna Maria Isaacson. A fourth girl, an eighth child, in a family might not cause much of a sensation. But when that fourth girl is the first red-headed daughter, and comes into a family that loves and wants children, she is special no matter the number in the family. Of course, with the red hair she was special to her brother, Ernest, the only other member of the family to be so blessed. At that time, our family was living in the new red brick home we had worked and saved for. We had a thriving lumber company and our own sawmill. In addition, our small store was becoming an extra source of income. This store was tended by the whole family, on a part-time basis. Life was good and our family was happy with the progress we had made since moving back to Utah from Arizona, about 20 years before. There were many of our relatives living in this area, my father's mother, Mary E. Cox Whiting, and many of his brothers and sisters. Not too far away in Ephraim, Utah, lived my mother's parents, Grandpa and Grandma Isaacson, Peter and Martha. Life was good here. Our family was active in the community and church. Typhoid fever plagued the families every year. In 1900, my father got typhoid and was very ill. The healing time was long and slow. Due to the unusual experience of having his father, who had passed away, come back to visit him, and tell him to return to Arizona and finish his mission, Edwin was ready to move back to Arizona as soon as he was well enough to dispose of his property. I was too young to remember much about the move. I could recall the many relatives who wept to see us leave and the long, slow journey to reach St. John's, Arizona. I also remember how frightened my mother was when we crossed the Colorado River. We were watching the ferry raft with the horses on. Dad and some other men were with the horses to help calm them, and Mother was crying. The trip was slow and long, but we children enjoyed most of it because Mother had brought along a large bucket of candy, and each child had a special treat at night time. St. John's, Arizona. My next home, a little two-room lumber house, was quite a contrast from our home in Utah. Our family was starting over again. It is not the one I was born in, but the one where I lived my early life until I was about 14 years old, with my family. The only home where we all lived together, our last one, Art, was born there. Eddie, May, Martha and Ralph were all married before we moved. The mountains. A few years after moving to Arizona, Pa bought the sawmill up in the White Mountains, and the homestead was acquired shortly after that. So much time had to be spent living on the homestead to establish ownership of the land. They built her lumber house for us to stay in when we were there for the summers, and Pa and Ma would walk down from the mill site and go to the homestead to sleep. All the rest of the family enjoyed going to the mountains more than I did because it was so hard on my face. No matter how I tried to stay inside, my freckles bloomed every summer. It took nearly all winter to fade them away a little, but it only took one day in the mountains to bring out big, bright, orange-colored freckles all over my arms and face. How I hated them! Though my red hair was easy to comb, and I thought it had just the right amount of curl, what was the use of fussing with my hair just to frame those ugly freckles on my face? There were some things I enjoyed at the mountains. I liked to listen to the wind in the pine trees, especially at night. Food always tasted better up there. I enjoyed sitting around after supper and playing rook, singing songs, or just talking. I liked to go for walks with Elda and look for pine gum. I played with Art when time would permit. One day Art and I ran onto a turkey with her newborn chicks. We caught some of them and took them to raise. My father knew over 100 songs by heart. Night after night, it was something to look forward to. We could sit around the fire and listen to him sing and tell us stories. After the horses were fed, the cows milked, and the supper dishes done, we had an hour or two of fun. I did enjoy those things at the homestead. I'm glad I had those experiences there with my family. In all these times, our mother and father never failed to teach us the truthfulness of the gospel. Every time something came up that was disappointing or hard, father or mother would remind us that our Father in heaven never gave us an experience that would not be for our good if we let it. Oh, how I have needed that all my married life, because I have had many losses and storms. Father purchased some property at the Meadows, several miles below St. John's, that had belonged to Grandpa and Grandma Isaacson. We built her log house and there our family spent part of the summers. We had many happy memories of that place. Next, we built a store to carry on the business started in Utah. Later, our family acquired a sawmill in the White Mountains south of St. John's. All these things were to influence the activities in my life. There was a certain feeling of excitement with every day we lived in our second home in St. John's. We hurried from the busy work day to the evening play, story, music, or drama hour. Our home was next to the store and from there mother could run the store. I was soon old enough to take my turn sitting in the store and calling, "Ma, you're wanted," whenever a customer came into the store. When Eddie came home from his mission and took over the store, we moved to our third house in St. John's. My parents. How my parents met. My mother and father met in the little settlement of Brigham City, Arizona, on the banks of the Little Colorado River, near Winslow, Arizona. Members of the Latter-day Saints Church had been called by their leaders to settle there and were living the United Order. The Whiting and Isaacson families had both crossed the plains to Salt Lake City and then been called to settle in other locations. Peter Isaacson and Martha Clemenson joined the church in Denmark, crossed the ocean on the same ship, then came in the same company to Utah. Peter lost his wife while crossing the plains and later he married Martha. They settled in Ephraim, Utah. When the call came to go to Arizona, they left a new house under construction and went to Brigham City, Arizona, to join the United Order there. Two of my father's brothers were in the same settlement, so my grandmother, Mary Elizabeth Cox Whiting, came to Arizona to see if it would benefit the health of her youngest daughter, May. She brought with her the members of her family, who were not yet married. It was here that my mother and father met and did their courting. Later, the settlement had to be disbanded, because a dam would not hold the water in the river. Peter took his family farther up the Colorado River to a little settlement called the Meadows, where he was the bishop of the Small Meadows ward. My father, Edwin, went there to claim his bride, Anna Maria, when she reached the age of 18. Their wedding trip was to the St. George Temple in Utah. They came back to the Meadows to live by her parents for the next few years until they moved back to Utah. Well suited indeed. How I wish I knew the words in the English language to tell about my parents so that my grandchildren could really know what a beautiful mother and father I had. It was a blessing to me. Now that they're gone, I realize more what a wonderful life they had, in their love and devotion to each other, and their associations with their children. Mother was father's equal and excelled him in some ways. They were well suited indeed. They did not speak often of their love, but every child knew it was so. Daily life. I often think how hard my mother and father worked all their lives. They were up early every morning, and always had a good breakfast ready by the time we got up. I had the idea that my father could do everything and knew everything. The only time I remember him being angry with me was when I imagined a snake under every bush, or when I picked the specks out of my gravy. I felt that he had a premonition about my life, and what would happen to me. One day Elda and I were playing house and talking about the children we would have. Later, I heard him say to my mother, "I don't worry about Elda having children, but it seems like too much to ask Minnie to go through." Mother said she thought she would never get me weaned. Elda had weaned herself at 5 months, Mother always said that I was the biggest baby she had. Not physically, but emotionally. I always needed her for my peace of mind. I wanted to know where she was every hour of the day. Even now when storms come into my life, I often cry for her. I look forward to the time when I can count on her again to help me make decisions. I've often wondered how Mother could keep such good clean beds for such a large family. We had such a little bit of water. Our drinking water we bought for a nickel a bucket from Brother Ben Ritchie, who came around every day selling it. Each family could only have what they needed to drink because it was scarce. Our wash water came from wells, or rain barrels, or the irrigation ditch. Usually, we had to let the water settle before we washed because it was so muddy. Still, my mother's beds were always clean. I think how often we wash now and wonder how she did it. I know she sewed cloth on the tops of her blankets and quilts to protect them from getting dirty from our faces and hands. How I long sometimes to taste some of the things my mother cooked. She usually fixed dinner at noon and had bread and milk at night. Caring for sick children. I must say something about how Mother and Father took care of us children when we were sick. They never thought we were faking an illness, but tried to ease any pain we had. We very seldom went to see a doctor, so it was up to Mother and Father to do what they could for each sick child. They doctored toothaches, headaches, leg aches, and many other illnesses. Many nights my dad rubbed one of his children's legs. The sweet look on my mother's face as she would see us suffer was almost worth getting ill for. I remember when I fell down Barry's stairs when they were being built. There was no light, but Fammy wanted to show me the upstairs. The carpet had not been tacked down, and I stumbled and fell and hurt my back. No matter how many times or what time of night it was, when I went in to get a hot water bottle or to get my back rubbed, I was never scolded. Both Mother and Father were unselfish. I can't tell you how they took care of everyone else first. I remember Dad taking food off his own plate to give to any of the children if he thought they might want it. They treated other people that way too. One day Dad made some kind of a trade and Mother told him that the other fellow had surely got the best of him. He said, "I feel good about that. I'd feel awful about it if I had got the best of somebody. I've tried to think that way in my life, too." Gifted storyteller. My father was a gifted storyteller. Many of Pa's stories he made up himself and continued them night after night, so we were anxious to come back. He gathered all the children around him in the evenings to hear his stories, then continued this with the grandchildren as they came along. I was only 8 years older than Effie, the oldest grandchild, so those oldest nieces and nephews seemed almost like brothers and sisters to me. I enjoyed growing up with Effie, Mary, Far, and Nora, who left us so soon. My father put on many plays and I was able to take part in a number of them. The younger ones in the family went along on the reputation of our older brothers and sisters, who had been in many plays too. The excitement of acting was a big thing in our family. One time we put on The Two Orphans and it was so good we took it to Phoenix and put it on in the largest theater there. It was thrilling for me to take the part of Mother Frogert in that play. It was a delightful experience. In our ward, he would put on plays to help make money for a new piano, organ, or anything that was needed. I remember the play we put on to help buy the little cups and trays for the sacrament when they first started using them. Dad directed the plays and he would use his own children to take the parts. He could be sure we were there to practice, and he could be with his family as he was working. We loved it. He also had many others in his plays, especially those who were willing to work and learn their parts. Every time I hear a sermon that moves me deeply, I think, I'm so fortunate. I was raised with a mother and father who taught me long ago. I hope that I live and measure up so that when I go, I can be where they are. They also had the blessing of working together. to encourage and to teach. My dad said often, "This is a good world. I love it and I find it is good wherever I go." Dad was a master at making it a good world himself. I can't think of Dad being idle. He knew just how to do everything. I remember that he was the only blacksmith in town. For a while he was the only man in town who was taking a daily newspaper, and one of his favorite pastimes was to read. Many considered him to be the best-read man in town. His mother was a school teacher. During the cold months, she took him with her to help teach the younger students in Springville, Utah. This helped to further his education in many ways, and gave him advantages that many of the early settlers didn't have. He knew a lot about other nations, what their people were like and how they lived. He would tell about lots of things he had studied and read. I wasn't a very good student and I don't think I would have made it if it hadn't been for my father's watchful eye. Spelling, arithmetic, and geography were awfully hard for me. I had to remember so much and my mind would just wander. Pa had jingles he taught me. A rich Irishman thought he might eat toads and cream, to spell arithmetic. George Edwards' old grandmother rode a pig home yesterday was the way to spell geography. I'm grateful for the help he gave me and for the fact that he never seemed to tire of it. Pa always worked with us. He didn't send us out alone to do a job. Either he or Ma would be there to encourage us and to teach us. Sometimes he would send the older ones with the younger ones. We knew there would always be some project going on at our home and we were willing to work at it. We didn't want Pa to hear about it if we laid down on the job. Once he got pretty upset with me though, when he was trying to teach me how to play jacks. Elda learned to play jacks really young and could beat anyone her age. Playing jacks well was a real status symbol. I didn't learn until I was 8 or 9 years old, and Pa said that he guessed he had failed when he couldn't even teach me to play jacks. Whenever Pa had to correct us, he never did it in a mean or hateful way, or with a harsh voice. He always tried to tell us the reason and never nagged about it afterwards. That was a good thing for me, because I didn't want to forever live with my mistakes I had made. The Lord can protect him. Somehow, Mother must have felt Sister Neagle needed her, because she's the only one Mother might stop working for. She would sit down and look her straight in the eyes when she talked. Sister Neagle had a big family, 3 girls, but mostly boys who were always on horses and riding for cattle. She had a lot of worries that went along with raising a large family, and seemed to enjoy talking to Mother. I know that Mother felt especially close to their family when the oldest son was called to go into the army during World War I. Sister Neagle said that she just couldn't imagine her Eugene being off where people were shooting at him. I remember her saying that if she could just forget about that, maybe she could get a good night's sleep. My mother said to her, "Don't you know the Lord can protect him just as well out there as in the mountains when he's riding a horse? That's dangerous too."